Chapter 7 Bhagavan's Inconceivable Potency. When Brahma stole the gopas and calves, and Krishna himself became all of them, he took on the same nature as all the boys and calves. He also became the sticks, blankets, and everything. All were Krishna himself, and none were different from him. Brahma personally experienced this. Durvitakarya hisa shaktir adbhuta parameshwari kuntu asyaikanta bhakteshu gudam kinchin natishtati. Brihad Bhagavatam 2.4.165. Although Bhagavan's potency is wonderful and inconceivable, it is not a secret to his exclusive devotees. But devotees do not keep the same feelings for all of those murtis. If they do, then their sentiment will not be perfected. If we see them all as equal, then will we treat those sticks which Krishna became the same as the original form of Krishna himself? Ramchandra, Narayan, Nrsinga, Vamana, Krishna is one with all of them. So an ordinary man, a neutral person, will consider them all equal, just as one may consider that all tulsi leaves are equal. Which one is smaller or bigger? Which one has holes in it? Which are dry, wet, or immature? Doesn't matter. All are equal. Similarly, those who are neutral say, for us, all Vaishnavas are equal. We don't consider who is an Uttam Bhagavat, Madhyam Bhagavat, or Kanishta. We see only that they are all Vaishnavas. They all wear saffron cloth, apply tilak, and take Harinam. So for us, they are all representatives of Bhagavan. Some people speak like this, but in Bhagavad Bhakti, such neutrality is not desirable. In bhakti, there should be exclusive feeling for one murti. Krishna, Ram, Nrsinga, Narayan, they are all one. But for a devotee, one Ishtadev or favorite deity must come. Then can be perfection in bhajan. Otherwise, the vision that all are equal and that all are one from the viewpoint of tattva is correct. But from the viewpoint of upasana or worship, there are some shortcomings in it. For instance, Krishna steals from houses and tells lies. Yashoda asks, "Hey, have you been stealing from the houses of others?" Krishna replies, "When could I have done it? Early in the morning, you sent me to the forest to take the cows grazing. All day they are grazing, and then I bring them back in the early evening. Then I come to you. Tell me, when could I have stolen anything?" And he had done it also. This is Mugdata. This is a positive quality of Bhagavan, which is accepted by devotees. But Nirvisheshvadis consider this to be a fault. They consider this to be a defect and will not understand it. This is a quality of Bhagavan's variegatedness, but a neutral person will not be able to understand it. In the realm of bhakti, neutrality is the most undesirable thing. Exclusive sentiment is the specific quality of bhakti. Therefore, in relation to Krishna, there will never be neutrality. There is neutrality in Brahman, so this is a desirable quality for the Brahmavadis. If someone says that complete neutrality is a quality of Krishna, then he is certainly a neutral person. In the war between the Pandavas and the Kauravas, by cleverness and cheating, Krishna took the side of the Pandavas, his devotees. One can also say that the sun is neutral. When you are in front of it, it gives you light and heat. But when you remain inside the house, you don't get its rays. Then where is the sun's neutrality? Bhagavan is just like this. Krishna is just seated quietly, just like the master of a house is seated. For everything he has appointed a department head and has told everyone, all of you do your own work. Then he just sits quietly and oversees them all. Like this, Krishna possesses all shaktis and lets everyone automatically do their work. In the management of the universe, these shaktis see to it that there is never any disturbance. There never has been and never will be. Such is the efficacy of his shaktis. Krishna stole something, and when the news of his theft reached Yashoda, she became angry. Parabrahma had stolen from houses and broken pots, so he will have to be punished. But because his limbs are so soft, she will not hit him, but bind him. Then he will learn his lesson. Taking a rope in her hands, she tried to bind Krishna, but the rope was short by a measurement of 2 fingers' length. She tried again with more rope, and again the rope was 2 fingers' length short. Trying and trying, from early until 10 o'clock in the morning, the rope was still 2 fingers' length too short. At that time, Yashoda was very astonished, and the gopis were very delighted. Originally, they had angrily come to speak against Krishna so that he would have some punishment, and now they were clapping their hands and laughing, saying to Yashoda, "Just see, you cannot control him. How will it be possible to bind him?" They brought all the ropes of Braja and still couldn't bind him. It was always 2 fingers' length too short. Yashoda had applied such a long rope, and neither his waist or waist ornaments had increased in size. So how is this? Bhagavan's Achintya Shakti remains in an inactive state, not doing anything, but is always searching for an opportunity for service. Just like the person who doesn't work all the time, but simply waits for the order of his master. Bhagavan's millions and millions of Shaktis are waiting for his order. But it is not like our giving an order to someone. Bhagavan simply desires something in his mind, and simultaneously that task is done. Here Krishna thought, "Today mother is binding me, but outside the cows are waiting for my darshan. Until I come, they will not give milk. The calves are also waiting for me. Now the suckers will come, and because I won't be able to go to play with them, they will become very unhappy." The cowherd boys saw all this and said, "Today your mother has taught you a good lesson." They were very unhappy that on that day they wouldn't be able to play with Krishna. But at the same time, they loved Krishna so much that just by seeing him very briefly, they felt great happiness. Krishna is very small in this pastime, only 3.5 years old. So these other boys were only 3 or even 2 years old. Yet seeing Krishna in this condition, they felt great happiness. But they also lamented, "Oh, today Krishna will not be able to play with us because mother has bound him." This is Mugdhata and Savagnata. This Swarup Shakti is also called Yogamaya, the energy by which Krishna performs so many activities and pastimes. Yogamaya saw that an opportunity for service was available, and she responded accordingly. His waist will not be bound, and then he will be able to go and play. Regardless of how much rope was applied, the rope remained 2 fingers too short. This is impossible, but it becomes possible by the arrangement of this Swarup Shakti, the medium by which Bhagavan performs his pastimes. What determines whether Yogamaya gives the darshan of Bhagavan to someone or not? If Yogamaya is pleased, then someone can receive Krishna's darshan. If she is not pleased, then they won't get his darshan. This Yogamaya is the foundation for all of his pastimes, And this same Yogamaya, in full form, expanded to the highest limit, is Srimati Radhika herself. The same Shakti is present in Dwarka, in the forms of Satyabhama, Rukmini, and others. In Vaikuntha, in the forms of Lakshmi. And in the heavenly planets, in the forms of the wives of the plenary portions of Bhagavan there. In heaven, there is the form of Chanchala, or restless Lakshmi. And in Vaikuntha, there is the form of Achanchala, or steady Lakshmi. They are all Srimati Radhika's reflected forms or expansions. In the material world, there is Chanchala Lakshmi. Why is she called that? Because today, wealth is with some person, and tomorrow it will be with another. She doesn't stick to one husband, and she is always wandering in the four directions. Today here, tomorrow there, and so on. Who is she? She is the shadow Shakti of the steady Lakshmi. Bhur, Shri, and Nila. Durga is also a shadow of Shakti. Vidyavasini, Kankali, Kamunda, and so on. They are all shadow Shaktis of the steady Lakshmi. At the time of Ramachandra's pastimes, within Lanka, there was Lankini, and she was also a shadow Shakti of the steady Lakshmi. The demons were worshipping her, but by nature she was restless. When Hanuman came and attacked, she became perturbed and ran away, thinking, "Very soon he will destroy Ravan. This monkey has certainly come to defeat us." In this world, Lakshmi is very restless, never remaining in one place. Some people who have abundant wealth think that they will turn it all over to their offspring, but there is no guarantee that it will stay within their family. But that Lakshmi, who in the form of Bhakti Devi resides with Bhagavan, is steady. Wherever this Lakshmi is, she is steady. If she is residing in a place where someone offends her, then she may leave. Otherwise, she will stay. But bhakti doesn't come quickly. It is very difficult to obtain. Therefore, such parashakti of Bhagavan cannot be understood by argument, but by the mood of service. If inside us is nishta, exclusive feelings towards one particular form of Bhagavan, then bhakti will come. But if there is no exclusive nishta towards one form, then it will not come. One may desire to perform bhajan for Ram and Sita, Radha and Krishna, Chandravali and Krishna, and others. From the perspective of tattva, this is all right. It is possible that one may even attain Vaikuntha. But if there is not nishta for one particular deity, then there will be no rasa and no ananda. This is being exclusive, but it is not being biased. It is thoroughly correct. In the verse 2.4.165 of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, we find the word Parameshwari. Parameshwari is Achintya Shakti, and to know her is not possible by argument. She is beyond that. When will we be able to have her darshan? When we engage in exclusive bhajan, it will become easy. The sentiment of the gopis, Raganuga Bhakti, is very rare and very difficult to obtain. But although that sentiment is very rare, it can be achieved. Sometimes, even if that thing which is considered the most degraded of all in this world is dovetailed in the service of Bhagavan, it can become the highest thing. Vikriditam brajavadubi idam cha Vishnu śradanvito nuśrunyad atā varanyadya bhaktim param bhagavati pratilabhya karmam kridrogam asav apinoti acharena dira. Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam 10.33.39. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the divine pastimes enjoyed by Sri Krishna with the gopis of Vrindavan will very quickly obtain pure bhakti, thereby conquering the heart disease of lust. There is a very beautiful explanation of this verse in the Bhagavatam commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Some people think that they will first become free from all offenses and anartas, become pure by their own efforts, and then engage in bhajan. But that is absurd. First, concentrate the mind and make the heart pure, then do bhajan, then bhakti will come. It will never be like this. You can try to concentrate the mind for millions of lives, but there is no guarantee that it will remain focused. Even the senses of big, big sages like Vishwamitra or Subari became disturbed. So therefore, in millions of lives, it will not be possible to control the mind by one's own personal endeavor. You will just be kept waiting for millions of lives. It is like thinking that you will wait until the water of a river dries up before you cross it. Whatever condition you are in now, if you are a thief, a dacoit, a hooligan, or if you are pure, start performing Krishna bhajan and chanting Hari Nam, and automatically bhakti will take care of the rest. In this world, there is no greater misconduct than adultery. But if it is in relation to Krishna, then it is not misconduct. Why? Because he is the husband of all. From the perspective of bhakti, the feelings that the gopis have for Krishna are the highest of all sentiments, both in this world and in the spiritual world. Some people who hear the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam say, "Hey, this is mundane. They are loving Krishna through hiding and deception, and because of this they have become so exalted." Yes, they have become so exalted that the most exemplary personalities such as Narad, Uddhav, and the Kumaras meditate on the gopis' feet within their hearts. Those devotees who have developed sentiments like those of the gopis, Vikriditam Brajavadubi, will gain entrance into Krishna's playful pastimes. If one listens with faith to narrations of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis by Anushrunyad, accepting a pure guru, an ideal Rasik Vaishnava who knows Bhagavat Tattva, and then constantly hearing from him, then exclusive sentiment will come to him. This sentiment is our everything, and it will arise in us and give us great happiness. Anuvarnyat means it has passed on from one to another. What Vyasadeva taught to Shukadeva Goswami, Shukadeva in turn taught that very same thing to Maharaj Parikshit. And what Shukadeva Goswami taught, Suta Goswami described that very same thing in the assembly of the sages. If it is described like this, and one listens with faith, what will happen? Bhakti Param Bhagavati. Param means Krishna, the best of all tattva. One will obtain bhakti for him, and that bhakti will become so intense that pratilabhya karmam hridrogam ashu. One will obtain the prema of the gopis. And by obtaining that, what will happen? The disease in the heart will be uprooted. What is that disease? The lust that men and women have for one another, which clouds a person's intelligence. If it creates so much strife amongst lower species, such as animals and birds, then what to speak of the effect it has on people? This lust is so all-encompassing that when the desire comes for anything, we think, "I am its enjoyer, I am its master." Even in regard to such basic things as food and clothing, any desire for impersonal enjoyment whatsoever, it is all lust. There are so many types of lust, from gross to subtle. But by hearing about the gopis' transcendental desire for Krishna, automatically the heart disease of worldly desire which binds us, birth after birth can be uprooted. And then prema, that entity which couldn't be obtained by millions of lifetimes of attempts at purification by our own efforts, will gradually come. Just see how something which is degraded in the worldly sense can at once be made pure when performed for Bhagavan's pleasure. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, to eradicate your bad qualities, to control your mind, and to rid yourself of lust, all of your personal efforts will prove to be futile. In millions and millions of lives, it will not happen. Just do one thing, and don't worry. Practice Bhagavad Bhakti by engaging in Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Smaranam. There are so many kinds of narrations about Krishna, but the descriptions of the Rasa Lila, wherein Krishna is sporting with the gopis, are the topmost. If someone becomes absorbed in them day and night, then he will find no free time for anything else. So how could he possibly become engaged in any sinful activity? That person is really dhira, one whose buddhi, intelligence, is fixed. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. To those who are sincerely devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. In this verse, the word buddhi means the intelligence which can give Bhagavan. It is full of mercy. In one place, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, O Krishna, you are very merciful. You said, Dadami buddhi yogam. Please give me buddhi yoga. And you may ask, which buddhi yoga do you want? The buddhi yoga which I gave to Arjun? But I don't desire that. For Arjun, it was all right. For those people who desire that variety of buddhi yoga, it is all right. But to me, please give that buddhi yoga by which even you become bewildered and forget yourself, in which you sport with the gopis, and by serving which one completely forgets himself. To become the servant of the gopis, to become lost in that service and forget everything else, I want that buddhi. For those who are serving you have forgotten everything else, and being intoxicated in that service, you are doing everything in the form of an ordinary human being. Be merciful and please inspire that buddhi yoga within me. Such dhira or steadiness is what I desire. Give me that intelligence by which I can come to you in this way. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has offered such a beautiful prayer to Bhagavan, and no one can offer a higher prayer than this. Here, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, my friends, practice sadhana like this. Don't pray in this way all the time. O Krishna, I am a big thief, a big hooligan. Just become deeply absorbed in his pastimes. I am qualified, I am not qualified. This is the consideration of a neutral person. Let us say someone has become greedy for a rasagula, and there is no money in his pocket. Then, by grabbing it, stealing it, or by any means, he will get it. Our greed for bhakti must be like that. We should pray to Bhagavan that he will be merciful and give us this greed. So the purport here is that the buddhi yoga we really want is the mercy of Yogamaya. This Yogamaya Shakti of Bhagavan is Durvitarkya, inconceivable and beyond argument or debate. Others have received it, so I should certainly receive it. Why was it given to them anyway? Bilva Mangala's conduct was very bad, so why did he get it? On the contrary, my consciousness is pure. I have never stolen or told a lie. Why shouldn't I get bhakti? We should not think like this. When will we get it? When will we get it? It is durvitakya, or inconceivable. By the arrangement of this very yoga maya alone, Bhagavan appears in unlimited varieties of forms. When Bhagavan comes in the forms of Nara and Narayan, he is always absorbed in meditation. That is one bhav, or mood. In the form of Ram, he has a particular mood. In all other forms, he possesses a specific mood, and all of this is arranged by the influence of Yoga Maya, Parameshwari. From Parameshwara comes Parameshwari. Kintu asyaikanta bhakteshu gudam kinchin na tishtati. Even though it is inconceivable, still it is not a secret to his pure devotees. By whose mercy will we obtain exclusive bhakti? From Yoga Maya we will receive a proper understanding of it. Otherwise, no one will ever be able to understand it. Narad told Gop Kumar, "To enter Golok, you must understand these points. Then you will be qualified to render service there. Otherwise, you will remain here in Vaikuntha and have dealings with Narayan in a similar way as the Kumaras who came here received a brief darshan and then merely returned to their own residence." Now I will explain the next verse. Patni sahasrir yukpat pranitam dravyam sabungte bhagavan yadaika pashyanti tanyatra yata patishvam ado mamandata tad eva mati. Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2.4.166. Bhagavan Sri Krishna simultaneously ate all of the meals offered by his queens in such a way that each queen thought, "He has accepted his meal from me first." Here Narad is saying that once he went to Dwarka and saw a very peculiar pastime of Krishna. So many queens are there, including principal queens such as Rukmini. Krishna has thousands of wives there. They all prepared so many different kinds of preparations, and they wanted to see whose offering Krishna would consider the most beautiful and the most delicious. They all invited Krishna to their respective palaces, and they were all watching to see whose palace he would go to first. They had already given instructions to Krishna. It was understood that good fortune of whoever could take Krishna into their home on this day and serve him drinks and feed him would be the topmost. Seeing Krishna emerge with Narad from the Sudharma assembly hall, all the queens eagerly stepped out of their palaces. Narad was thinking, whose palace will he go to first? Just then, Krishna assumed as many forms as there were queens and entered the palace of each and every one of them simultaneously. Narad also expanded into many forms and followed behind him. This is also possible for great devotees. We shouldn't think them incapable of doing that. There is only one Radhika, but when Krishna becomes Narayan, she becomes Lakshmi. When he becomes Vamana, she becomes Lakshmi of Vamana. And when he becomes Mahaprabhu, she expands as Vishnu Priya and Lakshmi Priya. In this way, wherever there will be pastimes, she will be there. When Sadashiva becomes Shankar, then she becomes Parvati. It is the same for devotees who are a Sikh. Some devotees are satisfied in only one Leela, while others go to all Leelas, and assuming many different forms, taste many different pastimes. Merely tasting one Leela will not satisfy them. Narad is like this. For those who are Rasik, it is difficult to say where they are. Narad visits Narayan, and in the same form he also goes to visit Ram. But the Narad that goes to Ram is different from the Narad that goes to visit Krishna. Not different in tattva, but different in bhav. Each of these expansions of Narad has his own sthayi bhav, permanent sentiment. Just as Krishna says that he will never leave Vrindavan, it is like this with devotees also. The gopis will never leave Vrindavan. If they do, it will only be in another form as expansions, and it is the same with the gopas also. When Narad enters Braj, he is Madhu Mangal. At Govardhan, at Narad Kund, near Kusum Sarova, he performs austerities and worships for what purpose? His desires have not been completely fulfilled. O Krishna, I have seen what it is to be in Sakyaras. I have seen what it is to be in Vatsalya. And I have also taken a look at Dasya. Now, Prabhu, what is remaining? He desires to experience that also, and taking another form, it may be possible. So Narad is saying that Krishna came out of the Sudharma Sabha in this way, and that he was following him. So many queens offered preparations, and Krishna expanded into thousands of forms and simultaneously went to the palace of each and every queen. With the very same form and mood, he simultaneously tasted all their offerings. Some people say that there was only one form of Krishna going from palace to palace very fast, but Narad could not have done this as well. They say that with such great speed, Krishna went to each queen in such a way that all the queens thought that he had come to her first. They say that if 1 minute is divided into millions of parts, that is the speed at which he was going. But it is like this only in his Madhurya Leela in Braj. In his Aishwarya Leela in Dwarka, he expands into many forms, but in Braj he doesn't expand into more forms. He remains in one form only. When Narad saw Krishna expand into all these forms in his Aishwarya Leela, he was not at all astonished. When was he really astonished? When he saw Krishna in his Madhurya Leela, with great speed and dexterity, the same one Krishna was appearing simultaneously between millions of gopis, and each and every gopi was thinking, O Krishna is very attracted to me, he loves me the most. Next, Narad speaks this verse, Brihat Bhagavatamrita 2.4.167. Kvachit keshapi jiveshu tat chak chakti praveshata tasya veshavatara ye te pitadvan mata buddhai. When Bhagavan's potency enters into a jiva, he is known by the wise to be Shaktivesh avatar, an empowered incarnation. If any special shakti of Bhagavan enters into a jiva, he is called a Shaktivesh avatar. This is the meaning of Shaktivesh avatar. Bhagavan has transmitted his own Bhagavat Shakti into that person. Bhagavan is the possessor of all Shakti, but Bhagavatar is the manifestation of Shakti. Bhagavan has unlimited qualities, and this Shakti manifests them all. Bhagavan is heroic, merciful, knowledgeable, and full in all six opulences, and they all manifest his Shakti. Who really lifted Giriraj Govardhan? Shakti, without whom his each and every activity would not take place. But we should not think that Shakti and Shaktiman, or the possessor of the Shakti, are separate. They are one and the same. We must respect those in whom Shakti has entered, just as we would respect incarnations of Bhagavan himself. Narad, Parashuram, Kapiladev. We should give respect to them as empowered incarnations of Bhagavan because their Shakti has manifested. Who is Guru? There are different gradations, but he is either Bhagavan's Jnana avatar, Bhakti avatar, or Prema avatar. Sakshat daritvena samasta shastre, yuktas tata bhavyata eva sadbi, kinto prabho ya priya eva tasya, vande goro sri charanaravindam. Sri Guruvastaka 7. The Guru is to be honored as much as Bhagavan himself, because he is the most confidential servant of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. I offer pranam to the lotus feet of such a guru. If a Vaishnava gives us bhakti, then what will we call him? What sentiment will we have towards him? He is giving us shiksha, instruction, and although he may not have spoken the mantra in our ear, he is giving us bhakti. He is giving us something which is indescribable. Yadunandanacharya originally gave initiation to Raghunath Das Goswami, but is what Rupa Goswami gave him later to be considered less important than that? We shall always consider these things. The Shakti of Bhagavan is within the Guru, so we should respect him, just as we respect Bhagavan. In reality, even more credit should be given to the Guru, because by his mercy we can understand Bhagavan. We have no direct knowledge of Bhagavan. Mahaprabhu was very merciful, but we can't say that we actually know him. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Rupa Goswami, we have heard that they are all very merciful, and they can give us mercy from their position. But it is our own Guru who can give us special things because of our direct relationship with him. He attracts us to bhakti and eradicates our desires for material enjoyment. So therefore, birth after birth, we remained indebted to him. Thus ends chapter 7 of Going Beyond Vaikuntha.